My Jesus, my Saviour, Lord, there is none like you. Nothing compares to the promises I have in you. And Lord, as we hear once again the promises of your word, may our hearts of stone be turned to hearts of flesh as we receive them afresh today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Sometime in the last week or 10 days or so, I was flicking through some headlines on a little news app that I have on my phone. And one headline jumped out at me. This was the headline: the church where Jesus is buried has been closed in a row over tax. The church where Jesus has been buried has been closed in a row over tax. Now, naturally, I opened the article. Apparently, the church was protesting over a new Israeli tax and property law. It's sad to see a church closed, isn't it? For any reason. And then it suddenly struck me that actually the most disturbing part of the headline was the first part of the headline. The church where Jesus is buried. Now, the more accurate headline should have been: the church built on the site where Jesus was buried has been closed. The great claim that we have been examining on the Sundays over Lent this year is that Jesus is alive. It's a bold claim that Jesus has been resurrected from the dead, that he is not in a tomb or a grave anywhere. And we've been asking the question, using the film based on a man called Lee Strobel, called The Case for Christ, still available to borrow if anyone would like it. And then we've been discussing further in the rectory on a Wednesday evening, is the claim credible and genuine? Or is it just something simply made up and fake to suit the purposes of the Christian church? Lee Strobel is an atheist, or was, whose wife Leslie is a Christian, and he thinks that it's all nonsense. And so he sets out to disprove it once and for all. And the movie, through Lee Strobel, illustrates, firstly, what stops people believing in Jesus. Close-mindedness, ego, fear of change. And then it also highlights, as we've seen in our discussions, what should convince people that the Christian claims are more than plausible. As Lee Strobel investigates, he finds that history and medicine overwhelmingly support the biblical story and the truth of the resurrection. And today we're going to move on in focus, really towards the end of the movie, the next step. Ultimately, Strobel has a decision to make. His investigations didn't end in the way that he expected. And so the question that he has is this one: does he ignore the truth, or does he follow the facts and embrace the truth in his own life? Ignore or embrace? And in a very moving scene at the end of the movie, he reveals to his wife Leslie what he has been going through. And through tear-filled eyes, he makes the choice to let go of his skepticism, of his ego, of his fear, of his questioning, and to give his life to Jesus. And quite literally, his life changes forever. And here we are, 30 plus years retelling his story. Of course, Lee Strobel's not unique. Countless others have done the same, myself included, where we have reached a point where the Christian faith is the only credible truth that is worth investing in. And Strobel's experience has opened doors for him to talk with all kinds of interesting people: scholars and authors, politicians and celebrities, presidents, even the first man on the moon, to share his faith. Strobel took the next step. He came back to God. And the question is, we weigh up his story as we consider the fact, what does that mean? coming back to God. To come back to God, to give our lives to Jesus, to follow Jesus. What does that mean? Well, as we come to the end of our Lenten journey in a couple of weeks' time, as we journey in a couple of weeks through Holy Week, through Maundy Thursday to Good Friday and on to Easter morning, it is good to remind ourselves of what enables us to reach the point of coming back to God and what that means for us. Well, the first image that I want to set before us is the motorway journey between here and Dublin. I assume we've all been on that journey at some point or another. Now, we could use the old road, but if we want to use that motorway, we have to pay a toll, don't we? We have to pay 140 to use each part of the motorway. And that's the analogy that I want us to engage with for a few moments. Wouldn't it be lovely if that motorway was toll-free? That someone had paid the toll for us between here and our destination. It would be nice if I could tell you today that the way home to God is a wide open road with no toll booths. That there was no payment demanded along the way. But the truth is, it's not a freeway. The way home is actually a tolled way to God. A toll has to be paid. There is a cost, and it's a steep one. But the good news that we remember at Easter is this. The truth that we can embrace is this. Is that Jesus has already paid the price on the cross. He's already paid the toll. He has cleared the path back to God. The perfect Son of God has paid the penalty we deserve for our wrongdoings on the cross so that we can freely come to God. The first image we celebrate and remember at Easter. The second image is to embrace it, which means we can join in the celebrations. Now, as you know, I love sport. Maybe you hadn't picked that up about me over the years, but I love sport. There is nothing better than celebrating when any of my teams win. This weekend was a mixed weekend. But Ireland won yesterday. They are champions of Europe. Hopefully, Grand Slam champions next Saturday. And it is wonderful as a supporter to celebrate with the team. It's great. But they've done all the hard work. I haven't been in the heat of battle with them on the pitch. But because of their hard work, I get to celebrate the joy of their success. And Easter morning for me is embracing the truth of the resurrection. It's embracing the victory of Jesus who has done all the hard work. And it's about joining the celebration. It's about letting go and stepping out in faith. It's about receiving the free gift of God's grace and being invited into God's presence forever to celebrate with joy. So the toll is paid. Joining in the celebration. And yet, we so often fight the free gift that Jesus has paid for us. So often, we struggle to accept that our way out of sin has been paid in full. We have trouble resting gratefully in the grace of God. Why is that? Well, there's a car ad on TV that you might have seen. And the sales line at the end of the ad is this. Changing perspectives. Looking at things from a different point of view. So often I think we look at God from our angle. But what if we change perspectives and look at things from God's point of view? What would we see? And how would that help us embrace the truth of God? Well, we can only surmise from what is revealed in the Bible. But we can do that with accuracy because of the life of Jesus, God in human form. And I believe our reading from Matthew 11 among many, many, many other readings in the Bible, gives us a beautiful insight to how God sees us and what his desire is for us. Matthew 11, verse 28 says this, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." In other words, God is offering to revive us from the inside out, to free us from the relentless pressure of trying to prove that God was right. There is another way that people can react to the free toll on the highway of life, and that is to embrace it with a smile and a grateful heart and with honesty. That's what God wants from each of us. When we receive his infinite valuable gift of forgiveness and eternal life, we realize from God's perspective, we don't have to earn it. In fact, we can't earn it on the front end, or we don't have to try to prove ourselves worthy on the back end. We're just sinners who are thrilled to have been saved by grace, who desire to join the celebration, who recognize our need of God and want to embrace his truth for eternity. And that for me is what the power of the movie illustrates and is about. That for me is what Lent is preparing us for. That for me is what Easter morning celebrates, embracing the truth of God. And my constant prayer as we weigh it all up for ourselves is the one that I've been using each week to end my sermon. It's the prayer that Lee Strobel's wife Leslie uses from Ezekiel 36 verse 26, that God would speak to her husband and would change his heart, that God's truth would speak afresh to each of us and enliven and soften our hearts to receive God in a fresh way this Lent and Easter. So as we reflect once again, can I invite us to pray quietly and to reflect on these words and make these words our prayer today. So let's pray. "Moreover, I will give you a new heart. I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take your heart of stone and turn it into a heart of flesh." Lord, may those words be true for all of us today, and may you enable us all to embrace the truth that is set before us. Amen.